What's up, everybody, and welcome back to The Walking Dead. I can't talk. A Walking Naked podcast. I just took a drink of my beer. Sorry. I'm one of your hosts, Justin.
Hey, I am your other host, Kelly. Yeah, I almost call myself Mom.
I'm your other host, Mom. It's dear old Mom. Yes, you are my mom, and we are the world's greatest mother and son podcast duo.
That's right.
They talk about The Walking Dead on a Tuesday at 8:25 Eastern. So, boom. Suck it, other podcasters that have other moms on it that talk at 8:25 Eastern. That's You're not right. as good as us.
Nope.
And it's not as us, it's ust. That's what I just said.
Well, that's kind of like wunst.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
One of the that drives me bananas. I'm like, wunst I did. I'm like,
yeah,
no.
Once I did this. Mm-hmm. Then I done did it. So
yeah, exactly.
We are here to get into our top three discussion from this week's episode, which was season 6, episode 11, Knots Untie by Michael E.
Cetracian.
I don't know how. Set.
Cetrazimus.
Yeah. The dude that directed it.
Yeah, you know, Mike.
Yeah, oh, Mike. Yeah. And oh, Mike, and then oh, Matt Negrete and Channing Powell wrote the episode. It got 12.8 million people watched the episode. Michael also directed The Grove, which was a very important and seminal episode of The Walking Dead. He directed Slabtown. Not so much, but I enjoyed that episode, much to a lot of other Walking Dead fans' chagrin.
And yeah, I did not.
Yeah, you didn't like that one. Mm-mm. So we don't have to revisit the hatred that you gave to me.
We don't.
And he also directed the season 6 mid-season finale, start to finish. So if anybody didn't like the way that ended, Michael is to blame.
Exactly.
Okay. Totally kidding, Michael. Totally kidding.
Yeah.
I'm sort of kidding, not kidding. It should have been a two-part. I mean, we should have ended in a different spot. But
yeah,
that's okay.
It's okay.
Still, I forgive you, Michael.
We're good.
You did an episode this week, and we both liked it. I don't think that's changed since we did our instant cast, right?
Nope. Yeah. It's not changed.
No.
Did you, in your second viewing, realize where the knots untie came from?
Man, it's almost as if we scripted this, but anybody that listens to us knows that we didn't.
There's no script.
Yeah, no, I did catch that. I think that for me, the knots untie has two different meanings, though.
Okay.
Well, the first one being literally knots being untied from
knots
Jesus.
Knots untie, yeah, locks from, unpick.
Yeah. Yes.
Because Rick asked him, "How did you get out of the jail?"
Exactly.
Knots untie.
I do like how he said that though.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. And then I like the part where he says, "Entropy comes from order, right?" That was a big word that
I
Jesus
don't even
said.
I don't remember it.
Well, it was very hard to catch, and I'm beginning to think that I need to watch the show with subtitles sometimes
or
closed captioning, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because there was a few things in this episode that I missed. I watched the episode 3 times. Third time was the charm on getting that he actually said entropy comes from order, right? So it's kind of, it goes in that knots untying as well. That's not the second meaning that I have for it, but entropy, the definition is lack of order or predictability. It's a gradual decline into disorder, chaos, and collapse. Or
kind of like our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like our podcast from time to time, more often than not.
Right.
But that lack of order does cause the gradual decline into disorder and chaos by the end of our podcast. But no, I thought that was interesting too, the fact that he said that entropy comes from order, right? Because it's so cool how we ended the mid-season premiere, how it was like that just balls to the wall craziness, and then we had the time jump and everything was kind of put back into place. I read some people discuss that this season, that episode 9, well, actually episode 10 was almost like a series finale for the show, because a part of it, at least, until we met Jesus. Because it was kind of interesting how the fact that we finally had like a portion where they were super happy, life had kind of come back into being in place, it had kind of become normal again.
Right.
And Rick was on the show. Boom.
Right.
Series over. What else do you need, people? So, and it's kind of interesting how like he says the entropy comes from order. So basically the chaos comes from order, right? And we know that they were starting to have some order in the show. And with Jesus coming into the show, it's right back to being chaotic. So I thought that was an interesting meaning of the knots untie. The second one was literally Abraham's knots untying, meaning his relationship with Rosita and the necklace breaking off towards the end.
That was sad, too, because, I mean, I just thought that was such a sweet, sweet thing for her to do. I mean,
it was.
She's back in love with Abe, even though he doesn't deserve it.
He does not. She's fine.
She is fine.
Mega fine.
And she could take those necklaces to eBay if there was some kind of an eBay in the apocalypse.
In the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. And she could make a lot of money.
Z-Bay. That was terrible. That was the jokes never land portion of the podcast.
Yeah, but I laughed. So there you go.
You laugh. I think you just do that to make me feel better. If there was no... Think about this. If our podcast was in a room full of people, you would have been the only one laughing.
But see, if I start laughing, other people will laugh with.
It's contagious, right?
Okay. See, I do the morning show by myself. I have to literally laugh at my own jokes every day. So, yeah, I've just kind of learned to.
You've got practice, huh?
Yeah. If I find it amusing or if I don't find it amusing, I'm still going to laugh about it. So.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do. I appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome. What is a mom for?
Yeah, that's what you're for, to laugh at my jokes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad that I caught that in the second and third viewing, actually, just the knots untie meaning and everything. So I didn't realize it was going to be that literal for the first knots untie. I guess I just didn't catch that in our first instant cast viewing.
I didn't either. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like... Oh, he says it literally right there.
Yes, I know.
Just like last week when he said the next world or whatever it was that he said.
Right.
Yeah, because that last week's episode was the next world. And it was this is the second week in a row that an episode was titled after something Jesus directly says. Interesting, huh?
That is very interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy world. Crazy, crazy episode. Before we get into our top three... I told you off air that I had a question that I was going to pose to you.
Yeah.
And this is our big, big question of the episode. And this is totally subjective. So however you feel.
Oh, good. Pressure's off then.
Yeah,
okay.
Pressure's off.
All right.
Okay. And I also would love for people to email us and write in on Facebook and Twitter. It's thewalkingnaked@gmail.com. The Walking Naked on Twitter and Facebook. Go find us. Tell us your thoughts on this question as well. Okay, here it goes.
All right.
Dun-dun-dun.
I know, I'm super psyched.
Yes. Okay, Rick and his group, they want one half of the Hilltop supplies. Do you think that they are just as bad as Negan's group of saviors, because they, too... are somewhat extorting the Hilltop group. Last point.
Okay.
Because we get the story of how Negan first meets the Hilltop.
Why would you ask us these questions when we're just going into our top three? I told you my top three was going to be a little bit different this time.
Sorry, we'll come up with another.
Ask me what my number fucking one is, okay?
I'm sorry, I forget your name that listens to our podcast in the middle of school, Tom.
I wrote little words in here that were not cuss words.
Well, I'm so sorry, but I did not realize that you were going to have this as your number one. Well, this is the question, though.
Okay.
We can talk about it now. See, people, we do not script these episodes at all, these podcasts. Maybe we should sometimes, but they also, Rick's group also killed one of the Hilltop people in a very brutal fashion, just like Negan did, to kind of show them what's up.
Right.
So I thought it was an interesting parallel. So do you think that they're just as bad as the Saviors?
I think we just, let's just throw out the top three because, you know, I mean, what's the point of having a top three if you're going to pose a question like that right at the top of the podcast? My number one is Rick and crew becoming the bad guys. They're the mob, the mafia. We've had the wolves, the termites, the governor's henchmen, Negan and the saviors. You know, now we got Rick's gang, and I came up with a title for them.
Yes.
They're the Reekers. Because wherever they go, they wreak havoc as soon as they walk into town. I mean, just ask Ethan, ask Pete, you know. I mean, yes, I think they definitely are just on par with Negan's people. Okay.
It's hard to say that they aren't.
They didn't pick just a kid.
No, they didn't. Yeah. They didn't pick a kid, and they didn't do it on purpose. Do you disagree that they did that Rick killed that guy on purpose, Ethan?
Okay, I don't think he didn't do it on purpose. I kind of feel like he didn't have to do it though. Did you? Because when I watched it the second time I saw it, I'm like, oh, you know what? It kind of seemed like it would have been under control. But he slams that knife up into his neck. When was it Michonne that had already got his Ethan's attention?
The confrontation had kind of de-escalated for a half second. Mm-hmm. It hadn't fully de-escalated. I mean, he still had the knife to his throat, but at that point, Ethan was saying, you know, don't move. I will, you know, basically I'll cut his throat. Abraham was still getting choked out over to the left or right of Rick. I don't know exactly where he was and all of that. But a certain part of me thinks that it wouldn't have gone any farther, but I don't know. I mean, Ethan, that dude is a big dude. He's a big dude.
He's a very big dude.
Yeah. It's so weird to think about it in the fact that think about Rick and his group being at least to a close parallel of the story that we get for the Saviors. Because we definitely don't want to ever think of Rick's group that way, but just like you talked about, I mean, they do wreak havoc, the Reekers do, everywhere they go. I don't know if it's just divine intervention that they always come in. And
oh, God.
I mean, even Jesus says it. He's like, this kind of stuff doesn't happen here.
Right, exactly. Not till you guys showed up.
Alexandria, this kind of stuff didn't happen here. That's what, was it Pete? Not Pete. I always forget his name. He's kind of the bit player. He doesn't get a lot of screen time. He helped Rick build the wall for a half second. What is that dude's name?
Are you talking about the guy that's still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah, yeah, the construction dude, right?
Yeah, construction dude, whatever. Yeah, everybody gets it by now. Construction dude, they're yelling at their you know, their listening devices saying, this is the name. Yeah. But yeah, he even mentioned it to Rick as well. He was like, before you guys came along, everything was really slow. And now it's escalated. It's gone really fast. And people are dying everywhere.
Well, I don't like that part of it. I don't like feeling this way about Rick. And especially when we just got this super, you know, happy, joy episode where, you know, and he's telling Carl, you know, I want to show you the new world, you know, things have changed. Bullshit. They're exactly the same. I mean, we've seen that in that same jacket with that same red streaks across your face, you know, when he ripped Joe's throat out.
Yeah.
Joe needed his throat ripped out. I'm not to say that. But Ethan, I when he got cut, he was saying something about the fact that, you know, if I don't do this, they will kill him.
Yeah.
And he's talking about his brother Craig.
Yep.
And that was, you know, like some of the last things he was saying. He was trying to save his brother. And Gregory's a douche.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. People that are douches keep getting saved. And the people that could have been, Ethan, damn. Dude could have been a very big positive contributor to the team.
I know. I'm looking at this big dude that's like, you know, you can carry a lot of stuff. You could, you'd be super helpful.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you're kind of attractive. These would be good, you know,
these
DNA.
These are all great qualities to have in the zombie,
the zombie apocalypse.
Attractiveness,
exactly.
Ability to carry lots of shit.
It's my two main things.
Yes.
You know?
No, I totally, I'm conflicted on this question that I asked you.
How are you conflicted?
Well, I'm conflicted in the sense that it wasn't, for me personally, it wasn't Rick bringing the fight to this guy. I mean, literally, had the guy not stabbed Gregory in mm-hmm. the stomach,
there wouldn't have been
any confrontation. But I get where this guy's coming from, and the fact that he feels like he has to do this, which I don't, this is another part I don't understand. Why did he feel like he had to do this? Was he going to literally like cut Gregory's head off after he killed him and drag his head back wherever the hell the
yes.
saviors happen to be? He's just going to walk his head back there in the middle of the zombie apocalypse and be like, yep, here's his head.
That's
a lot of effort. I think I would have, you know, because you can't mail it to the guy.
No, he wanted to go get his brother.
Where's Paul Revere?
You couldn't FedEx
right?
it. I think he wanted to save his brother and to save, you know, your sibling, some of them, depends on which one I'm talking about, in my family.
Yeah.
You know,
some of them might have to go, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If joke's on him, sucker.
But, you know, some of them I might actually chop somebody's head off and bring the head back and say, okay, let's trade. So.
Yeah.
Although we know Negan wasn't going to trade for it, and they should have known that at this point. He's a bad, bad dude.
We don't know that. This is all assumptions based on how much fear that the Walking Dead producers, writers, and directors and actors have put into us.
Okay, well,
Negan comes on, and he's like Mr. Freaking Rogers, and they like have completely changed his storyline from the comic books.
Well, that'd be hilarious.
And Rick... is the guy stabbing people in the neck.
Yeah. Rick is the guy stabbing people in the neck.
No, he definitely is stabbing people in the neck.
He does. He has a thing for necks, really, if you think about it.
I know. He has a thing for the blood on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was it you or somebody? I think it was you, actually.
It was me.
That or posted that where it was just like these shots of him with blood all over his face.
Well, I was just saying, you know, he got to thinking about it. You know, I mean, he's been having bloody facials since, you know,
that's
October
like
31st.
His super, that's what gives him his super strength.
That's what makes him super hot.
Yeah, that's true, yes.
I mean, it makes his blue eyes just look crazy and they pop out.
Makes them pop, so.
Yeah, insanity. Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you were Jesus, would you have, because, you know, Jesus jumped in there very quickly and said, look, we need to stop this, you know. Would you have backed Rick and the Reekers at that point? Or would you have said, oh, crap, dudes, I am sorry I brought these jerks in here. You know,
poke
them with your spears.
Yeah, exactly. Use your spears. They're going to shoot us with their guns. No, I mean, I think you got to back the lead horse at that point. And
really?
Rick and his group are the lead horses. Mm. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I say unfortunately. I mean, I'm glad, obviously, that Jesus and Rick and them are going to come together and this is all just a discussion because obviously we love Rick and his group more than Negan. And, you know, Negan and Rick had to do what he had to do. He had to kill that guy.
This is an intellectual discussion.
Yeah.
If you can say that about us.
Yeah, if you can say that about us. That's a stretch.
Exactly.
That's a big stretch. It would be tough. It would be tough to see. I mean, these are the people that Jesus has been with for however long. I mean...
Right.
That's just like if, you know, if somebody came in and stabbed Rick's group in the neck, you don't think Rick and them would have, can I see any one of Rick's group stopping in the middle of that and taking sides with that other group?
Nope.
Hell no.
Nope.
Would never happen.
Rick is got to be related to us. I mean, he's got Campbell written all over him.
Even down to the what?
I know, exactly. And the hair. Yeah, oh my God.
Definitely the hair as well. Yeah. Well, yeah, because I mean, later on, Jesus pointed it out. He said, even Negan didn't get this much up front.
Yeah.
It was a weird thing that was going on with Rick and with Maggie in this episode. How, like you said, how they went from the lovey-dovey episode last week to this just back to the and I understand, you know, people are probably yelling at me right now. I understand that Maggie was backed into a corner somewhat when she demanded the one half. That was her, like, F you, Gregory. I'm going to do what I want because I've learned from Rick and Deanna how to you know, handle these things. So, no, it's just tough. It's very interesting thing to think about. I'm not 100% sure right now which way I feel either way. Like, do I think that they're similar to the Saviors in some ways? Definitely, yes. That was some of the things that we pointed out. Are they as brutal? I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say that they aren't right now because, I mean, they brutally killed that dude.
People are dead.
Yeah.
Okay, now Rory.
This is the first one that didn't deserve it. This is the first one that truly didn't deserve it. Pete deserved it. Joe, the claimers, deserved it.
Yeah.
Gareth deserved it. I mean, every one of them that they've met along the way has deserved it.
This guy,
first time. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got caught in the crossfires, but, you know.
Well, and I mean, he started it, but it would have been, had Rick and the gang not been there, he would have, you know, came in. He would have stabbed Gregory, took his head back. They would have got Craig. They would have came back to, you know, everybody would have been happy that Gregory was gone because he's an asswipe. Sorry.
But apparently everybody likes him.
No, they don't.
I don't. That's what Jesus said in this episode. He didn't say that. No, he did. He said, you're like, I just tuned that part of the episode out.
I didn't hear it.
Well, we want to hear your thoughts. Just let us know. What do you think about this question of are they just as bad as Negan's group of saviors? Feel free. Send us your answers. Tell us how stupid we are.
Please don't say that. Don't say we're stupid.
Well,
just say maybe we're incorrect.
Yeah, you're stupidly incorrect. So, all right. So let's get into our top three. Is that?
Oh, sure. That's cool, Justin. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. I didn't take your number three, so you got that one.
Maybe. Okay. So my number three was really just a pretty easy one. Just the Hilltop Colony. I mean, I just love the whole step back in time because, you know, with Alexandria, it felt very modern.
Yes.
We were living in the lap of luxury. Well, this has such a colonial feel. I mean, you've got the blacksmith and the gardens and the farm animals. And then, you know, Gregory's whole plantation owner attitude. I love that whole, the music they were playing, you know, was almost, to me, it was almost kind of Deliverance music.
It was interesting. I wish I didn't catch what it was, but it was very interesting. They played it multiple times, right? Every time that Gregory was coming in to speak, they played that same little riff, right?
Yeah. You remember that place that we went to in up in Branson, Missouri,
Silver Dollar City.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the kind of music that they have playing in the background all the time. Just this, you know, this kind of banjo-y, you know.
Yeah, folksy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I got you. Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt like you were, you know, you were down by the river. And, yeah, it was interesting. I'm with you. That was my number three as well. So
really,
yeah, the
but
line,
so you already knew about the question though. So you already still have three. Okay, go ahead.
I do. but yeah, the part where, Jesus says your world's about to get a whole lot bigger. And then we get the introduction of the Hilltop, which is it's a very, amazingly cool place in the comic book. So for all the comic book readers, this was, you know, a nice little, reveal for everybody to see how well they could duplicate what they had in the comic books and the TV show. And I believe his name's Grace Walker. You, sir, can take a bow.
God.
Because good God, it was an amazing recreation of what we saw in the comic books. like you said, the detail, the fact that this place seems like it's been frozen in time compared to everything else, which is so cool to see, because so far, everything we've seen in the Walking Dead TV show, besides the fact that there's zombies roaming around everywhere, pretty much closely resembles what we have currently, right?
Maybe even better.
Yeah, exactly, because there's not as many annoying people around. But yeah, so it's very interesting to see this place that's stuck in time, basically, which is really, really cool. The weapons, you were just talking about it earlier, the fact that these hilltop people are going to try to stab Rick and his group with spears that the blacksmith made. I mean, that's just badass. And yeah, the Barrington house. I love the fact that it's got all these vantage points for sniping people. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect zombie proof place for sure. Yeah. If they just had guns and ammo.
Oh yeah. I mean, if that was a video game, I would sit up in that. It's kind of like a widow's walk area.
Yeah.
You know, you can see out forever, and I would snipe from up there. I mean, that would be my perfect spot, and because I'm great from a distance in a video game. Just FYI, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Or with a baseball bat.
Did you change your baseball bat's name to Lucille? Because I did.
No, you know what? Actually, I never switched to any melee weapons in Fallout. I mean, I've been strictly guns, but most of the time I try to stay as far away as possible and kill them. I like to, you know, kill them with a sniper rifle.
It's a perfectly acceptable way.
Yes, and then, you know, and then wait to, you know, I kill them from a long way off.
You kill them from a long way, then you pull out your melee weapon, and then you're just beating the dead corpse, right?
Yes, exactly. And yeah, in that game, you can actually literally, I mean, things will still fly off, you know,
yeah,
bits and pieces.
It is fantastic. Yeah, I named my my bat Lucille and my gun Rick Grimes because I've got like a badass 44.
Do you use that gun ever?
No, I don't, because I'm waiting to get more ammo. It's hard to find that ammo in the game. So I'm building up a nice cache of ammo.
Well, I will say when you get as far along in the game as I am, you know, up to my level, which is, you know, somewhere in the 50s.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Ammo is not an issue anymore.
Mm. Well, it is on my lowly level of 31.
I'm sorry.
How often do you hear that, people out there that play video games, that your mom is is more than 20 levels above you in Fallout? So, yeah, you play that game a lot.
Yeah, and you suck.
So, I do. Right, what's your number two?
Okay, my number two is, you know, the whole Gregory thing. You know, we got a new asswipe to hate. Sorry, class. You know, because at this point, Gregory, to me, doesn't have any redeeming qualities at all. He's an arrogant, misogynistic jerk. And I don't know. I think it's just kind of fun to have somebody to totally dislike and to make Rick seem a little more diplomatic.
That's very true. I didn't think about it, the fact that it puts Rick in a nice shining light.
Mm-hmm.
But it is cool. I guess the last character that we had to really just truly hate was Porch Dick Pete.
Well, yeah, I mean, and really to me, and I'm sorry to interrupt, because I was just going to say, he wasn't all that bad.
He well, was except like a, for the fact that he beat his wife.
I know, but he was just like a shitty husband, dude. I mean, as far as an evil, you know, genius kind of a dude, he really wasn't.
No, he was definitely just the brute. That I don't think there was much thought going on behind any of his actions at all. That's for sure. But yeah, no, Gregory's a very interesting character. I mean, physicality wise, he's not there. You know, he's obviously not on any of Rick's group's level when it comes to physicality, but we definitely know that he's got to have something going for him, because why wouldn't the saviors just come in and just kill them all? And basically enslave people to make their food for them and
because
get them their supplies.
That's what they've done. Well, that's what the Hilltop Colony is.
It's a very nice way to live if you're enslaved. I mean, they get to come and go as they please. Jesus still gets to go roam around. That's definitely a different type than most people are thinking of when they think of slavery, because yeah, that's not that bad. I mean, he gets to live in the Barrington house and he gets his nice little suit and tie jackets or whatever that
yes,
he wears.
I know. They were very threadbare though. That was fun to, cause I started, you know, just looking at it and, you know, Yulin Womble, I'd done just a, and I hope I pronounced her name correctly.
Pretty close.
Did just this amazing job of aging the jacket, you know, cause obviously it can't be, you know, fresh off the shelf at this point in the zombie apocalypse. So it was nice and neat, but it hadn't been to the dry cleaners in a while.
No, not at all. But yeah, he's an interesting character for sure. I'm excited about him, and it is weird the fact that he rules over everything, but you don't even know how he's doing it, because it's like, why would anybody listen to him?
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think there's some people that don't want to be the boss. They want somebody else to have to take that responsibility. And apparently he's, you know, if you to me compare it to slavery days, because it had that whole feel with the plantation.
Yeah.
If you had a bunch of people that hated the plantation owner, you know, you kind of feel like, why can't they gang up together to kill that person?
Take them out.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't. It never really seemed to happen. I guess back in the plantation times, most of the time they didn't have guns. But obviously, Gregory didn't have a gun either. So I don't know. I mean, I guess there's got to be something good about him.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Because you would think what you're talking about. You would think, yes, that people would step up and revolt against him. I mean, obviously he doesn't seem to be ruling with an iron fist. It's not like people aren't allowed to live in the Barrington house, because Jesus even pointed that out, the fact that they've converted everything to rooms, so everybody has a room in the Barrington house if they wanted, it seems like. It seems like a lot of people also live in those FEMA shelters on the outside. That's probably more out of, they just kind of want to be left alone.
Oh, heck yeah.
They're in their own place.
I would live in a FEMA trailer rather than be shacked up with a bunch of people.
Yeah, which is very interesting for me right now, because I'm going back and reading the comics. I think I mentioned this in the Instant Cast, and I forget how long Rick and the group lived in Dale's RV. Like,
yeah,
for a long, long time, they had to be shacked up in this RV. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that a lot of people would, even though the Barrington house is super nice, that they wouldn't want to live there. But it's not a physical thing. It's not a psychological thing, at least it seems like to me. It's not like he's saying to these people, if you don't do these things, I'll kill you. At least we didn't see that firsthand in this episode. Maybe that's a point of it. Maybe he's like, hey, if you don't do your part, I'll turn you over to Negan. Like, I could definitely see him saying stuff like that, because he's kind of that kind of slime ball.
He also, to me, he takes ownership of that house. So mm-hmm. I could see that it's very much, you know, I let you live in my house.
Yes.
And so, again, that would make me want to stay out in a FEMA trailer. And that would also make me hate the jerk, because he's sitting in the library reading a book while I'm out there, you know, doing all the work.
It's so weird. It's we just got characters like this in Alexandria that really didn't seem like they were with it to all the goings on outside in the zombie apocalypse world, because Gregory definitely seems like, it seems like he hasn't done anything, which we know that he's definitely had a hand in building this community, because Jesus flat out says it. And that's a big reason why he's one of the leaders in the community. But it is very weird seeing him. I mean, we talked about it in the Instant Cast, that picture that he was looking at. I went and took a snapshot of the picture. It's a very aristocratic picture. It's like a person, it looks like Napoleon or something on a horse back in the day, like in mm-hmm. the 1800s, 1700s or whatever, maybe even before that. I don't know. It's maybe 1600s. But, and the fact that, yeah, whenever he's mentioning to Maggie, I always loved that picture. I think you even brought it up. And he's like, I never thought one day I would own it. It was like it was calling out to me or something. Like, that's paraphrasing what he said. But I'm with you. He's a very interesting character. I'm excited to have Xander Berkeley on the show. He plays a magnificent jerk. We just saw him in 12 Monkeys. He was a jerk in 12 Monkeys. and he's continuing the role of being the jerk that everybody's going to love to hate. But I'm interested in seeing where his character goes from here. And speaking of that, I actually had a question about that. Since we're talking about him, where was my question? It was basically, would you trust Gregory? And I know that we don't like him, but would you trust him? Maggie's made this deal with him, with Rick's group. To me, it feels like he would double cross Rick and the gang with Negan.
You know, I would think in a heartbeat, I don't trust him at all. At all. I mean, he seems slimy, and it's all about, it's what is good for Gregory.
Yes. I think right now, Gregory is to be trusted because he sees how, badass Rick and his group are. I think that he's thinking, okay, maybe this is a good thing for me. Maybe
because
they can actually take
a purpose for me.
Well, yeah, it serves a purpose for him, but to get rid of Negan. But I think right now he doesn't see any chinks in the armor, if you will, for Rick and his group. Like, I think he truly believes that they have a chance against Negan and his group. But I think the second that some of those bits in the armor start falling apart, he's gonna run just straight to Negan.
Yeah,
that's my feeling.
I feel the same way. I think he's whatever's going to serve his purpose and better his life is what he's all about. He's not about being faithful. He's not making an alliance to form an alliance for, a long lasting, hey, the world's going to be a better place because we're going to be friends and we're going to take care of each other. Nope.
Yeah.
It's not what he's about. So in my opinion, now, The Walking Dead sets me up a lot. It makes me hate somebody, and then they change it.
Yeah, then they get redeemed, and you're like, yeah, man, I love Father Gabriel now.
Exactly.
That's my boy right there.
Oh, God, he's so great. Please babysit my baby. Hold my baby,
Exactly. Yeah, I'm pumped for Father Gabriel. So, yeah, the Walking Dead is known to do that. I just don't know. I don't know about old Gregory. I don't know if we'll see him turn and become like somebody that we all love. Not sure. So, okay. I think it's my number two.
Yeah.
What am I going to go with my number two here? I think I'm going to go with my number two is I called it Abrahamisms.
I almost went with those myself.
Man, we're on the same page tonight, for sure. Abraham, Michael Cudlitz, dude, just straight up killed it in this episode. We talked about it a little bit in our instant cast, but I mean, he brings such a fun, quality traits to the show because there's not a whole lot of fun in the show. It's a very bleak show. We talked about that in the instant cast. And I mean, I love the fact that this fool in a zombie apocalypse where there's limited amounts of women and limited amounts of straight women, as we've seen, that he's got a love triangle going on with Sasha and Rosita. And in this episode, he not only gets laid once, but he gets laid twice.
Oh, you're talking about from the same woman in the same...
Yeah, from the same woman.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything went down with Sasha earlier, but as they were coming back in, he was telling the story to Sasha. I don't think anything went down there, but he definitely, Rosita, she's looking good, but I mean.
She does look great, but
yes.
I don't think he loves her.
No, I don't think he does either, but that's not his Abrahamisms, all the ones we talked about, the pouring the bisquick, you trying to make pancakes, ugging bumplies, let's chew up some asphalt. I love the when he says, given the precarious situation on any given Sunday. I just love that he included the any given Sunday. I see rain coming. I'm wearing galoshes. I double up. I mean, the dude doesn't run out of great quips.
They have to have so much fun writing for him. I mean,
you just, would think so.
Yeah, because like you said, there's not a whole lot of fun in our Walking Dead world. But for him, they get to, they're like, oh, yeah, I got to have some relief here. You know, yes. let's say something about the pouring of the bisquick. So, yeah, that's an excellent number two.
Him and Eugene, they've definitely been bringing the funnies. I've got a question for you about Abraham.
Okay.
Bill, I've got a couple of things on Abraham, which just probably should have been my number one, but whatever. I'll put some other random thing for my number one. First question. Did you notice, this isn't really a question, this is just, did you notice it? Did you notice the cutscene from Abraham in the opening when he's with Rosita in the bed? And she goes in the shower, and then he kind of has the memory of Sasha again.
Mm-hmm.
But did you notice the fact that the very next scene that they go to is Maggie digging in the ground?
Are you thinking it's like...
foreshadowing?
No. Is that what you think? Seriously?
I just find it awful strange for The Walking Dead to do that, because I get that that scene was to showcase that they didn't have any food right now and that rations were getting low.
Mud.
But the fact that it's literally, they have this kind of like nice still visual, you know, it was a close-up, I believe, from what I can remember, on Abraham's face, and then it goes immediately to digging in the dirt.
Mm.
I don't know. We've seen these things before, or, you know, in the show.
Yeah.
Where they have these cuts, or they have like some kind of Easter egg statement that somebody says in the show.
Yeah.
And it comes to fruition later on, AKA back in season 5, whenever Glenn picks up the baseball bat.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. It's just some things that I had some, I don't know. I noticed that one and I was like, what's going on here? The next one, what do you think the epiphany was that he had while he was on the ground whenever he was getting choked out?
I mean, to me, if it has anything to do at all with his earlier situation at the beginning of the episode, and that was just that, you know, life is short. You better take care of the things that you got to take care of, meaning he needs to break up with what's her name, with Rosita. I'm kidding about the what's her name.
You better be kidding.
With Rosita's Rosita,
my girl.
Oh, I know, and you know, because I that's what I felt like they were trying to go with the fact that his necklace broke off and he just left it behind. You bastard.
I know. What a rat. What a rat bastard man he is.
Yeah.
Stupid men.
So what do you think?
Well, I mean, it's kind of what you said, the fact that he's realizing what's important. It's kind of like the whole Deanna's talk to Michonne, the fact that she kept you know, asking her, what's important to you? What do you want out of this life? And I think that was like Abraham's aha moment of he was finally realizing what he truly wanted. And as I was watching the episode, it's very subtle. It's very hard to catch. Again, closed captioning, I think, would have helped. But he was hearing Sasha's voice as he got choked out. So that was also very interesting to me. It was basically what she was telling him earlier. Like, that's just how the things are, or something like that. I couldn't discern exactly what it was, but it mm-hmm. was definitely Sasha's voice. I don't know if you heard it as well.
I don't remember.
Yeah, so
because
I mean,
I only got to watch it twice.
Oh well, yeah.
I know.
I'm
lose.
Fancy.
I
times.
Lose.
One
I
of them
never...
while I was working. So.
I know. Well, see, and I've been so busy this week because normally, you know, I'm all about watching at work,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't get to watch any TV at work today.
Darn it!
I know. I mean, yeah. Why?
It's not. I don't usually get to. Just for anybody out there being like, dang, life of privilege. I'm not actually really watching it.
No, you've listened to it.
Yeah, I've seen the episode before and hearing it is kind of weird how sometimes you catch more when you're just listening as opposed to listening and watching.
Mm-hmm.
I guess sometimes, you know, your brain can only take so many things and so many distractions. And if you're if you're watching, you're seeing things happen all over the screen, you're trying to listen to what people say, sometimes they get lost.
Yeah.
Or you're just like me and you can't catch everything.
Well, it's like, you know, I've told you forever that I, you know, especially the first few seasons of The Walking Dead, I would just plug them in my DVD player in my car. And I listen to those over and over and over again. You know, that's why I can quote things from the first two seasons for sure, because I've listened to it so many times. So anyway,
I know you've got to start watching all of them. I'm ready to go back. I'm super ready for that, especially going back and reading the comics again. I'd like for us to do something where we kind of have a comparison show of where it's just like, and I know you can't do it verbatim because there's a lot of things that they change from the comics, but there's a lot of, you know, overarching themes that kind of stick around and that they do in the show that they did in the comics. So, and especially now they're getting very, very similar with what has gone on in the comic books and what they're doing currently in the TV show. My last question of Abraham, how is Rosita going to act if Abraham actually cheats on her?
I don't think he'll cheat. I think Sasha's not going to cheat. Sasha's going to make him break up.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's what she said in the first half of the season. You've got some stuff to take care of. I mean, they were in the perfect spot if they were going to... what was it? It's not bumping uglies. It's...
Ugg and Bumplies.
If they were going to do that.
Making the pancakes.
So, if you know, and she's not going to do it. I think Rosita is her friend, and she's not going to do her that way. So she's going to make him take care of that first.
Yeah, I think you're right. I hope that he doesn't cheat on Rosita because Rosita's hot. She didn't deserve that. And I'll be there for you, Rosita.
Oh, I know you would. I know you would.
I live pretty close still. Mm-hmm. You know, right over here in Atlanta. As long as you make it to season 7, I'll be your man. I'm here for you. So
you would be her man if she didn't make it to season 7.
I'll even grow a ginger beard out for you. I'll color it. You know, if that's what you're into. If if you like the fire crotch, I can, you know, I can accommodate that for you as well. So whatever you need.
That's disgusting. I don't want to hear the rest of this conversation. I'm sorry. I don't know why. I'm just thinking about Merritt Weaver, who plays Denise.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I hope they start giving her more of a storyline, because I have marathoned Nurse Jackie, which is like, I don't know, 7 or 8 seasons. And I started it about a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And I think I'm on season 7.
Wow.
Really good. She is so unbelievable. She's so funny. I mean, she's just hilarious. So I'm hoping they give her more story going forward.
That would be nice. We need more story for a lot of characters. Aaron being one of them, for me at least.
Yeah.
I love the introduction of Aaron. I thought he was such a great character, and he's kind of been put on the back burner for now. So
let me ask you this: how would you feel if they did this to Jesus?
I would not like it.
Yeah. Because I'm so excited about him.
Yeah, he's a really, really good character. Tom Payne is doing a phenomenal job. And yeah, it's going to be tough. They've got a lot of characters to service on the show, and I don't know how they're going to do it so much.
I was just going to say, do you think that they gave us so many characters so that they have extra to kill?
I think so. I say that, but I also know it's a little bit different, a comic book as a medium and TV show as a medium. You know, there's a lot more moving parts to killing a character off on a TV show than there is in a comic book. You don't have to pay that comic book character when you pay, you know, when you kill him off. You don't have to go find somebody else that's got a very dynamic and interesting personality, because... You know, just because a character is great in the comic books, and don't get me wrong, there's millions of actors and actresses out there that are super talented that I'm pretty sure could play.
Millions.
Yeah, Yeah, they could play any role from the comic books. I don't know if there's millions, but there's thousands.
Okay, there you go. All right.
Okay. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say because you get attached to these characters in a TV show, which you get attached to characters in a comic or a book or a game or anything, and it's tough to see them go anytime that you have an emotional attachment to a character. But sometimes in an ongoing TV show, it's even worse because right now we have no clue how long The Walking Dead's gonna go on. I mean, let's just say if it lasts another, let's just say it lasts till season 12. I can't imagine going five more seasons without a Glenn, a Daryl, a Maggie, whoever else, a Jesus now, Aaron. It's really weird to think about losing any of those characters for me. I'll still be obviously super interested in the show, but I think it'll have a more of a punch, well, a gut punch, that
yeah.
is. So
yeah.
Well, I think we're down to our number ones.
Yeah, we are.
Do you have one, another one?
I just came up with a lame one.
Okay.
And this one is kind of, I'll be honest with you. I decided I'll go with a nitpicky one since my number one was actually pretty good.
It was. Yeah. It was very good.
Thank you. Thanks. We got this wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, we've got this itty bitty sweet little baby in Maggie's belly, which is just so awesome. And I'm so excited that we got to see the baby, and everyone had this warm moment in the RV with looking at the picture of it. But we had an ultrasound of a baby in a community that is Colonial Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was my number one. My number one was a bitchy thing. I mean, and you just...
That's okay. I mean, hey, we don't bitch a lot about stuff on the show.
No, but didn't it...
Okay, I'll do the same thing.
Okay.
My number one is another disappointment.
Yeah.
Because Rick was so badass in this episode, he was so awesome. There was one moment in the show, which it was almost as if they had wrote something, but then maybe Andrew Lincoln forgot his lines or something, and they're just like, ah, shit, we gotta go with what we got here.
Yeah, we're losing the line, people.
Yeah, exactly. We can't get any more shots after this. Yeah. We gotta go with it. But yeah, the moment where they're loading in the car, they're getting ready to go on the trip to the hilltop, and Rick and Carl have a conversation about Michonne, and Rick is saying, you know, hey, you know, I would have came to tell you about this, but literally this just happened. And Carl has a sweet moment where he's like, it's okay, you know, I get it, Dad, you know, because he loves Michonne as well.
Right.
And if he could pick anybody for his dad, he would most likely pick Michonne. So it was a very touching and loving moment. Mm. And then Carl's, well, okay,
go on, no, go
let me go on.
Go ahead.
And then Carl says, Rick says, are you ready for this? Meaning, are you ready to go to the hilltop? Blah, 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 whatever. And eventually Carl comes around and says, I'm staying. I'm going to stay here. And which is a badass moment because that's also cool. The fact that Carl is, you know, he's becoming a leader.
Yeah.
They are okay with leaving him at Alexandria because they know that he can protect the Alexandrians as well as himself and Judith and everything. Mm-hmm. But then he has that moment where he says, and a one-eyed or a half-face kid wouldn't be the best first impression. I don't know what he exactly said, but something about, oh, has a kid that has a messed up face won't be the good first impression. And then Rick just kind of looks at him and doesn't say anything. Like, I don't know why he didn't comfort him there. I mean, this is a very minor disappointment. No. This is literally probably my only disappointment
God,
in
I
the
know.
Entire episode.
Now make me look like a jerk when you come up with some little nitpicky, like, can you name, tell me any faults? My fault is I work too hard.
Yeah, exactly. I'm too hard of a worker, people. No, it was just a weird moment that I thought they could have added something to that scene with Rick comforting him. Because... Well, I don't know why he wouldn't have. I mean, this is his son still, and he obviously loves Carl with all of his heart. And that's just like if some bully picks on you in school, and you know your dad comes in and You know, maybe you do have this ginormous, you know, because some people have deformed feet and their second toe is way bigger than their big toe. It's like way longer.
That's not deformed. That is normal, you idiot.
Whatever, that's not normal. But, you know, the dad would have been like, hey, son, it's okay that you have that second
freak
longer
toe.
It's okay that you got that. You know, the world, they don't know what they're missing out, that you've got that second bigger toe. Maybe you can grip things better, son. I don't know what it is, but you're not a freak. And, yeah, he just didn't comfort him there. My only thought is I wonder if there'll ever be some friction between the two of them. And maybe that's why they didn't have a comforting moment right there. Because Carl is kind of going through a transition. We saw that with Enid last week, that he's, I don't want to say he's rebellious like he was back in the day whenever he freaking left Rick to die there at the house and I wanted to choke Carl out when he's got off eating pudding and shit.
Yeah.
Rick's dying and you're eating chocolate pudding.
Well, and he's saying, I hope you die. You die.
And you didn't even bring Rick any back.
Nope.
Which, what's up with that? But yeah, that was it. That was my disappointment. Other than that, the episode was badass.
What about in that same exchange when he's telling Carl that, I mean, it literally happened last night, like you said, and, you know, I mean, it just happened. I was going to tell you, and he says, it's different this time. I'm like, oh, what a dick thing to say.
About Jesse?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, Jesse was hot, Rick. You shut your mouth.
Exactly. You know, and she's, you know, Michonne is alive. So
yeah, exactly.
That is different. But I mean, obviously we all feel so strongly and we couldn't wait for the two of them to get together. But I just thought, that's not cool. It's different this time.
Yeah. Yeah. That was not cool, Rick. Come on, man.
Yeah. Not
her
cool.
Grave's still fresh, bro.
It is.
Yeah, I don't know. It was an interesting scene as a whole right there. But who knows
whatever happened there. Family moments.
Yeah, it was awkward family moments. You just saw me, bone in Michonne and yeah.
And everybody in the whole, all of Alexandria came around the staircase.
Yeah.
And saw us, you know, obviously barely dressed.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Somebody was commenting how nice Andrew Lincoln's pecs are that he's been working out. I was like, that's funny. You and Kelly, that's the important stuff in life.
I was trying to get more of his hiney shot in this time, and I'm thinking, you know, here I'm watching this on a big screen, and I still couldn't see enough.
Darn it. Darn it, darn it, darn it. All right, well, I think we need to get into some listener feedback. I think that wraps up our...
I guess we better do that.
Our top three.
If you could call it that.
Anticlimactic ending to our top three.
Well, it would have been better.
I hadn't ruined it for you.
It would have been better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get into some comments. And I also wanted to point out, I got a badass Kickstarter thing. I backed... The Walking Dead All Out War miniature game. I am so excited about this. It's from created by Mantic Games. No, this is not an ad for them or anything. I'm just super excited.
Besides that, they've already closed it off. So you
can't back it now, but it is so freaking cool. I'm super excited. Once it comes, I'm supposed to get it in August, which is like, I think a full year before the actual retail release. You'll never remember this by the time that August comes around, but we're going to be doing some stuff behind this game to kind of show it off. So I'm super pumped. It's like, it's got, I think it's got Alexandria, the hill, it's got the prison, all sorts of things, like all the characters, Morgan, Negan, some of Herschel's kids and everything. So Julie and Chris,
the comic book kids.
Yeah, yeah. Julie and Chris, which were Julie was Tyrese's daughter, and Chris was her little boyfriend.
Oh, I hate those two.
Yeah, so, no, I did not like those two. Yeah. So, or at least I didn't like one of those two. But yeah, it's really cool. Just a side note. I don't even know why I wanted to bring it up.
Oh,
but
just
it's really
because
cool
it, I mean,
I'm excited about it.
It's way awesome and it looks like fun. But I thought, you know, we don't both need to own this.
No.
And you have a really good job, so I let you buy it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. So I think the interesting way to go here is we posted an article, 7 reasons why Daryl's time is up on The Walking Dead. And this was an article from Movie Pilot. The author was Zach Perry. And it just kind of went through, like, you know, the showrunner is hinting at his death all the time. Even the actors are hinting at it. Norman Reedus has new projects. He was just in 999. He's doing some new motorcycle show where he travels all around the world. The part that you were saying earlier, his character has been slowly replaced. The fact that we now have Jesus, which is the ultimate badass. We've got Michonne, ultimate badass. Morgan, ultimate badass. So we have 4 of them now. And this is discluding Rick, of course.
And that's discluding Carol.
And Abraham and Carol, yes.
Yeah.
There's lots of badasses on the
yes.
show. And I think I was talking about this to somebody else. Somebody commented on our Facebook or something, the fact that somebody's got to go. As much as I hate it, I kind of agreed with them because I said, I can never, at this point right now in the show, I can never imagine how Negan's group could pose any threat to our group at all.
Oh, I can.
I just don't see it.
Easy. The writers F with us.
Well, yes, the writers screw with us, but the way that they built it, the way the writers have built all these characters up, it's very hard. Now they took Abraham down a peg in this episode because I'm like, how did he not just destroy that guy?
He got choked out. Rick also got punched by a girl and knocked down, and a very small girl. She was pissed.
And that's true. I did feel bad for her though. It seemed like Ethan was her man.
Oh, I know. And I wasn't sure if Ethan was her man or if Craig was her man.
That was her only way of getting Craig back.
And that was her brother-in-law.
Yeah.
But I kind of dug when she knocked Rick out.
Yeah, I mean it was a perfectly reasonable reaction. I mean, yeah. I would have went after Rick too. You just killed somebody that I'm out there scavenging for stuff with.
Yeah.
The number 5 reason was he might have pissed off Negan. Not only did he blow up Negan's men, but if Negan, you know, if his ears were itching in this episode, it's because he called him a douchebag or something. Basically, that they're a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
They can't do anything.
They can't do shit.
Yeah, exactly. Number 6, he doesn't exist in the comics. Number 7, his arc is complete.
Okay, I think going over the number 6, he doesn't exist in the comics. I think that's a huge one.
You mean a huge one in his favor or
against him? And just because in this article they talk about the fact that we are paralleling the comics so much right now that it's kind of hard to write a Daryl into it when the source material he's not in there.
No, I've been saying that for quite some time now, the fact that we've had these characters in the comic books, namely Tyrese and Abraham, that was Rick's right-hand men. Like, they were his boys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as Kid Cudi says, they were his ride or die. And we didn't get that from Tyrese. We really haven't gotten that from Abraham. It's been more Abraham is buddy-buddy with other characters in the show, not so much with Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, now we've got another one with Jesus coming onto the show. Yeah, it's having to write in another character like Daryl is getting tougher and tougher. I don't know about the fact that his arc is complete. This article says, what is Daryl really doing nowadays? He is lending a hand here and there, but his story arc completed when Beth died, I feel, as he was finally able to love. He's basically wandering around and going on supply runs with his BFF, Rick, now. Which I'm totally cool with, because we really haven't gotten that ever.
I know.
We need it. They're besties in real life, as we call it the bromance, because they have so much fun, it seems like, together. But they really haven't gotten a lot of that on the show. But I still think there's there's things to do with Daryl's character on the show. It's just kind of a matter of where they take his character, because he's been so, as we've talked about it, he's just so asexual, androgynous character.
I mean, what if they actually finally, you know, put a little, gave him a little spark, gave him a romance, gave him a woman to love. Maybe when Rosita breaks up with Abraham.
Could be.
You know, Daryl takes a bath. And then he brings her, you know, a flower. We've seen how that, you know, works for him in the past.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we got some comments on the article that I wanted to read really quickly. Sue Ellen says, from last Sunday's episode, I thought they were preparing Abraham to go in the finale. But there are a few points here that really do point to Daryl running out of time. I think in this episode, especially whenever he kind of calls out Negan's men, just like we previously discussed. Evan says, I noticed last night as he went in to rescue survivors from the car wreck that he was sans crossbow.
I didn't notice that until Evan pointed that out. That's a good catch.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of forget that he doesn't have his crossbow right now, but Dwight took that. Evan says, which I guess he has been for a little while now, but I had a thought, how long can the archer survive this world with no bow? And he thought that was a little silly because Daryl has been plenty competent, way more than most survivors, using a variety of weapons. But as a viewer, I just kind of expect to see the crossbow. Not sure this equates to his ultimate demise and anything, but it was a thought. The fact that he is facing a gun in the still shot is just one more time facing a gun. I guess it's really all up to Mr. Gimple drawing your number. I think the gunshot is literally from whenever, you know, in the first half of season six, whenever he gets captured and he goes, I'm not who you think I am, or something like that.
Yeah, but in this episode, no one had a gun on him in this episode.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody's got guns except for
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking in one of the people in the hilltop, but then no, they were all spears. So
yeah. Heather says, I hope not, but my son has already advised that if Daryl passes, he will need to take the next day off from school to mourn the loss of his favorite person.
Oh, you know,
so sorry.
A mom loves to hear that their son loves a person on TV more. This is my favorite person, mom. You know, it's like, never did you were supposed to say next to you. Oh my gosh, this next person that comments. Mary Wormington.
Yeah.
She says, I wonder if there are any plans in consideration to the Carol Daryl storyline. Hashtag a little happiness. Mary is actually, she lives here. And,
okay.
This is so funny. And I hope. Okay. So she and I are Facebook friends. We're not really, I don't really know her very well. I mean, I've met her before, but she got a new car and she, you know, she was posting her car, how much she loved it. And she said, my new car's name is Michonne. And I was like, oh my God, your car's name is Michonne. You must be a Walking Dead fan. And she said, yes. And so then we got in this, you know, big long conversation and I was just like, oh my God, just... I just think it's really cool. All she did is name her car Michonne, but it, you know, it was kind of a compact car, but she felt like it was a badass, you know? And so I just thought, oh, what a perfect name. I'm renaming my car.
What are you going to rename your car?
Michonne.
Way to be original. The same name as hers. What do you mean?
I won't tell her.
Well, if she listens, she just heard it. So I can't believe you wouldn't say it's Rick.
I know. Well,
it doesn't work as well if you're, I mean, okay, I'm not going to go there. Okay.
I know, exactly.
Joe said, I think he's gone. Not sure how, but probably gone. I really hope that doesn't, that's not the case.
Yeah.
And I wanted to point out, because I, in the instant cast, we talked about the fact that we didn't really realize that Rosita and Abraham were still together. And Laura pointed out to us, she said that, go back to season 5, the episode right after they arrived at Alexandria and everyone was given a job. Abraham stood in the bathroom of their house, staring at himself in the mirror. In the background was a naked Rosita lying in the bed. Those two have continued umping buglies for some time.
Yeah.
And then she, I guess Rosita also told Spencer that Abraham was her reason for living, which I just completely forgot.
It was you that said they weren't together, not you and I. Okay.
Yes.
Just, I want to make sure everybody's really clear that Justin screwed up on that one.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're my favorite person.
Yeah.
Thanks to Rick.
Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. And Jesus.
Yeah. And Jesus and Carol and everybody else. Let me see what else we got. Okay. Julie says, this is just random. So far, so good for the second half of the season. Three pretty damn good episodes. I'm just holding my breath, worried about when we're going to see Negan, and starting to worry about Abe with all of his deep introspective thoughts. He might be next to go. Mm-hmm. Best line of the episode, Rick. What?
I know.
With his face covered in blood, cracked me up, LOL.
It was pretty, you had to laugh, even though it was really awful.
How could you not laugh?
Oh, I did. I laughed. But the second time I watched it, I'm kind of like, oh.
Like, I'm a sociopath. I'm
God,
laughing at this
exactly.
right
exactly.
But we're right there with you. Yeah. I laughed as well. I think I laughed both times. It was just a cool part of the show. And I mean, it was a great panel from the comic books as well. So, yeah, I mean, they're definitely, like you said, they are paralleling the comic books quite a bit these days. There was one other thing that I had that I was gonna discuss really quickly. I don't know when we talked about this, but Evan also said piss and vinegar is one of the worst salad dressings ever, but less fat than oil and vinegar.
That's hilarious. We did talk about piss and vinegar.
I completely forgot all about that. I like his definition, though. If someone were full of piss and vinegar, I've always considered it to mean they were sharp, nasty, and quick to unleash a beatdown. Not one to trifle with, at least not with your guard down. Okay, yes. Who's the most full of piss and vinegar then on the show?
Oh, definitely Rick.
I don't think I can go anywhere else but Rick as well. I mean, he's straight up.
What?
Yeah, he's definitely full of lots of piss and vinegar. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. One other cool thing that we posted on our Facebook page, the Walking Dead TV series is getting a coloring book. And I, for one, am so excited. I'm kind of disappointed because I literally thought about this like maybe 3 weeks ago or so, which I'm sure this has already been in the works way before then. but I was thinking how much fun it would be to just literally like do YouTube videos of coloring The Walking Dead. Not that I'm a great color. I mean, I haven't colored anything since like...
I'm super good color. A
couple of decades. Well, then there you go. You are official color.
Yeah.
But yeah, it says a 96-page coloring book based on Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead comic books will hit store shelves this May. So that was one based on the comic book. But it says now Inside Editions is publishing a coloring book based on the Walking Dead television series. It contains over 80 pages of line art depicting memorable scenes and characters from AMC's hit show. Sounds really cool. It says it will be released on September 20th, 2016. Is available on Amazon for pre-order at $13.81. I'm about to snatch that up real quick. Thank you, Amazon Prime. I may get that shipping for free.
Yeah.
Actually, no. I don't know if I do or not, but I'm buying that. That sounds amazing. So, I can't remember if we had anything else.
I kind of wonder. I bet Jesus is not in it, and I would love to try to get that right blue green of his eyes.
I liked how he talked. That was a question on The Talking Dead. That was
it. Funny. Was a question on there. He does have. I'm sorry. I mean, obviously, I am an Andrew Lincoln fan, and I love the color of his eyes. But Tom Payne, woo, baby. Okay, let me just.
Rick does not need to hear this from you.
No, he won't. We'll cut this part out before he listens to it.
Yeah.
I didn't point it out because I didn't want to be that nitpicky person. But about Jesus's beard, because I kept looking at it and I'm like, this looks glued. And so they finally talked about it in The Talking Dead. And I was like, oh, thank God I wasn't just being nitpicky.
I didn't notice it, to be honest, this episode. when he was first introduced.
Yes, I mean it was like hanging off of him.
Yeah, it looked really good. It looked like Beavis and Butthead whenever they glued their pubic hairs on their face back in the day on one of the cartoon episodes. That's basically what his beard looked like in the first episode that he was introduced in. But it looked much better and more realistic. It also kind of reminded me of that picture of the Merkin that I...
Yes, it was very, very Merkin-ish.
Yeah, that I posted on Facebook and Twitter way back in the day. So,
yeah,
his beard looks much better. You know, hey, I understand, man.
He grows an awesome beard.
Yeah, it looked awesome. I was jealous. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, okay, I can grow a good beard. I'm wondering if I can grow that cool of a beard. Because I liked how it was, like, had the, you know, the, it's like, not the Fu Manchu thing, but the...
He grows a beard like your dad. Your dad can't grow a full one like you do.
Yeah.
You have a whole face beard.
Yeah,
his dad has that bear patch, and so does Tom Payne.
But he pulled it off cool because it looked like he shaved portions of it to kind of accentuate the good portions.
Yeah.
So I understand. Hey, I feel you, man. Not everybody can be cool and grow a badass Rick Grimes beard.
Right. Yours is very Rick Grimes-ish.
It comes in handy. So, all right, I'm going to leave you with this question. Leave everybody listening to the show with this question. And this is a slight spoiler, I guess, because this was a part of the teaser trailer for next week's episode,
slight spoiler alert.
Yeah, slight. Very slight. Okay. Which is the episode next week is entitled Not Tomorrow Yet. And it's actually directed by our man, Greg Nicotero. So I'm excited.
Not going to be good.
Yeah,
somebody's going to die.
Yeah. I mean, okay. No Way Out. Death.
Mm-hmm. There's always somebody that dies when he...
First time again, death. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody's going to die.
Kind of nervous about that. But in that teaser trailer, Rick is giving him, you know, everybody his speech about the fact that they've got to go after these saviors. They got to go after Negan because sooner or later, they're going to come after us. But the camera pans and zooms in on one Morgan. And I'm just curious... And this is a weird way of wording this question, but I'm wording it this way, so whatever. So what or how is Morgan going to do or feel about Rick's speech on why they need to attack the saviors? Because he didn't look one too happy. He didn't look like he was digging that too much.
I don't think he has changed his way of thinking to the... Rick Grimes' school of thought, kill them before they kill us.
Yeah.
So.
All life's still precious?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think he's going to be on board.
Yeah, I don't think so either, unfortunately. I completely forgot I got spoiled on some other things too, but I'm not going to get into that. Fox Russia or whatever, stop. Who AMC, whoever is releasing these things, don't release these teasers over in other countries. It's called 2016.
Yeah, the internet
is going to find it, and they're going to post it in my Facebook news feed, and I'm going to have to click on it. Dang it. I don't think Morgan's going to be too pleased. He didn't look too pleased, unless that's just the people creating these teasers to throw us off, kind of like they did in the first half of season 6. But I do know that Lenny James did say, or at least one of them, Andrew Lincoln or Lenny James said that the Morgan and Rick stuff is not over with. So, you know, we were all led to believe from that season 6 Comic-Con trailer that they were going to come to a head, Rick versus Morgan.
Yeah.
And that never really came to fruition. It was just kind of a sleight of hand, if you will, from the people that cut that trailer together. But Lenny James did say that there's more to come. I'm with you. I think they're going to butt heads on how to handle Negan's group. But I think Rick's on the right. Yes. Got to meet him head on. All right.
Well, besides that, they've already taken the food.
Yeah, exactly. They got to do something now.
They've got the payment. So. Yeah.
Payment's been received.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're done.
That's it. Let's wrap it up. Bye-bye, right. Everybody. Okay, go follow us on all the things, the social medias, the stuff and things.
Did you notice Jesus? Did I bring this up that he doesn't have an accent?
He does not.
He doesn't have that deep Southern.
Nope. But he wouldn't, because they're not in the South anymore.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I know. It throws me off all the time, too. I'm just
in my
like,
opinion, they're still in Atlanta.
No, they're still in Georgia.
Yeah.
I think about that sometimes, too, because, yeah, Xander Berkeley, Gregory had kind of, he had a little Southern draw going on, but not anywhere near like Rick and Daryl, of course,
right.
And Maggie and everybody else. But yeah, he didn't have one. So he's got a very, very plain accent.
Yes.
So.
Midwestern.
Yep. Midwestern. All right. Well, we'll be back with our instant cast discussing season 6, episode 12, Sunday night. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, and thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you guys soon.
Bye. Why did I start talking about Jesus's accent? Where did that come from? Oh my God. What is the deal? Please.
You need to restrain yourself.
Oh God.
Go take a cold shower.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. And if I share with times are coming and I'm